Turn your Bibles tonight to Jeremiah chapter 7. We'll begin reading verse 25. Tonight I want to talk about prophets, the purpose of prophets, and who is a prophet. We know there are apostles and prophets, and the apostle is basically a sent one. Someone usually we think of as sent directly by Christ. There were the 12 apostles that Jesus taught that traveled with him. There was the apostle Paul, who was a special called apostle. Perhaps there were others, but generally we use that term for those that were directly called by Christ for a specific purpose. But prophets cover a rather large span of time. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting with verse 25. Since the day that your fathers came forth out of the land of Egypt, unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck. They did worse than their fathers. Therefore thou shalt speak all these words unto them, but they will not hearken to thee. Thou shalt also call unto them, but they will not answer thee. So everyone didn't listen to the prophets. In some cases, they stoned the prophets. They killed them or put them in prison. But the prophet's job was to give the message of God. You can go all the way back to the Pentateuch, the book of Deuteronomy, and I'll just read this for you. Deuteronomy 18 and verse 18 said, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. Throughout history, God has sent men called prophets. They were to guide, they were to warn, they were to speak of events in the future. And so often happens, humans don't always listen. They don't always follow. They don't always take heed. And many times they turn their back. They fail to follow the instruction or the warning the prophet gave. Now, in your Bible, we have a list of all the writing prophets. First, we call them the major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Then we have what we call the minor prophets, Hosea, Joel. Just wondering how she's translating all that. Can you spell all those names that quickly? No? I thought maybe she was handing a list. But Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And there are other prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Gad, Micaiah, Nathan, Samuel. All these we know specifically were prophets. Their names given as such in the Bible. But there are others, even in the New Testament. John the Baptist called a prophet. John the Apostle. Agabus the prophet. Anna, prophetess. Barnabas. Paul, of course the apostle, but also a prophet. What is the role of a prophet? The role of the prophet is to speak a message directly given to him by God. We don't necessarily call people prophets today. I suppose if you speak in hyperbole, if you give an example, you might say, well, that was prophetic. Or that man may be a prophet because he said something that came true or something that was very relevant for a day. But that office of a prophet is not something that is active in this particular era or time that we live. But God had a message. Often it's associated with new revelation. So during the time of the writing, these prophets were put on the scene and they gave the word of God. Even in the New Testament, the early church had to operate like a church. They'd never seen a church before. They did not have any writings that pertain to New Testament doctrine. So God raised up prophets, and they would speak to people New Testament doctrine without actually having the Bible in their hand. They have the Old Testament, but not New Testament doctrine. Those prophets gave the Word of God, and those that wrote, we have it recorded. They were writing prophets. So that even in the Old Testament, there were those warnings given to Israel. They were going to be taken away into captivity. So Jeremiah warned them, this is what's coming. And while they were in captivity, Ezekiel warned them and gave them hope that they're going back into the land. Denounced all these nations around them for their sin. So the prophet had a message that was given from God that was unique. It was clearly accurate and truthful. It was the word of God. So God reveals his plans through those prophets. And the way God spoke to them was through a variety of ways, but through dreams, through visions, and through the word of God itself that had been given. Or orally, God spoke to them. So that was how God worked. Now, when somebody says, God gave me a message, God told me something, and I know this was God speaking to me, I'm always cautious because there's not the need in this era for God to give us new doctrine or new truth when we have what we need in the Bible. It's already been recorded. So we have what we need. God spoke to us through the Word. But when people say that, I wonder if they were eating late at night and, you know, they have some indigestion or something, and then they have this dream or vision. You know, even born-again, fundamental, independent Baptists sometimes come up with this idea that God told me this. I'm not saying he didn't tell you that, but I know many times people make that casually as a statement of fact when maybe it was God and maybe it wasn't God telling you that. And we can receive impressions of the Holy Spirit, but we have the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to guide us. And that's how we live today. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians and chapter 13. Clearly in the New Testament church, there were prophets. And the Bible says the prophets were subject unto the prophets. So there would be someone stand before the group of believers, and others were there who were also prophets. And if someone was not telling the truth, one of the men in the audience would stand up and say, wait a minute, I don't believe that's the word of God. I don't believe that's true. So people were accountable in the early church. And you know, when there's true prophets, not far behind are false prophets. So we have to be careful. Some claim to have the truth, and yet they don't have the truth. And by the way, how do we know a false prophet? One very simple way is when they have false prophecy. So if they predict something will happen and it doesn't happen, or they have to change what they said or the way they said it, they're a false prophet. So, you know, that gets rid of a lot of those that are in false religions or cults because they say things that are going to happen, they don't happen. But these prophets were giving the word of God. They were in the early church. It was a need, and it was a need because they did not have the scripture yet recorded, and they didn't have printed Bibles. They didn't even have the scrolls, not even the original in many cases, until these letters were written. So the early church needed prophets. Now go with me, 1 Corinthians 13, and we'll start in verse 8. Charity never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and that is referring back to this special gift of knowledge. He said it's in part. We prophesy in part, and it's referring back to verse 8, of prophecy. Notice what it doesn't say. It doesn't say we speak in tongues in part. That one's left out. Now, if you read carefully, and I know some of you are Greek scholars out there, and you know this, there's the usage of the words or the verbs. The idea is that prophecy and this unique knowledge of understanding Scripture or a biblical truth without having written the word, without the written word of God, those gifts, he said, we only know in part. And when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away. Well, I'm convinced that which is perfect was the word of God because it correlates to the gift. So they didn't have a complete understanding or knowledge of everything. But when the word of God comes, it's not in part, it's in whole. And there was no need for the gift of prophecy nor the special gift of knowledge. Well, what about this unique gift in the early church of tongues? It was a sign gift to the early church to vindicate or to authenticate that the early church was indeed built upon prophecies of the Old Testament and a fulfillment of the Old Testament. So it was to verify the authenticity of that early church. So if a Jewish person came into an assembly, someone spoke with an unknown language, not known to them, but a known language, they would hear them and they would be convicted. This is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So they would be convinced this is of God. It was a sign gift to unbelieving Jews, convinced that in the early church, this was not just a movement, it was the fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy and Scripture. And because it's not mentioned, it does say it would cease, but the verb gives the impression it would cease in and of itself. Whereas knowledge and prophecy would end as a result of something else, some outside source, which I believe is the Word of God. Now, if you didn't agree or somebody didn't agree with the interpretation, the truth is that is what's happened. It did happen. That early gift of tongues did not reappear except among a group of cultists in the Middle Ages, which I don't think anyone would authenticate as being a valid organization or a truthful organization. Or you have to go all the way to the 20th century in the early 1900s where you find another reappearance of something called speaking in tongues. And it had a very sketchy past, or say in the beginning, it had a very sketchy beginning as to the group and the organizations where that started. Now, it became very popular, and it was kind of exercised in a variety of ways, but in some cases, the most, the ones that were most strict about it indicated that unless you spoke in tongues, whatever they meant by that, you couldn't even be saved. It was the evidence you'd actually be saved. And sometimes they would have people come to the altar to be saved, and they would be slain, what they said, slain in the spirit. They'd put their hand on somebody's forehead and actually push them over, and sometimes go through contortions and different things, or speak in some kind of gibberish, saying, now you're saved because you're slain in the spirit. And so there are a lot of issues that that were associated with the speaking in tongues that for all those hundreds of years, there was nothing. It ended just like it said, tongues will cease. They did cease. There's not a purpose. There's not a reason for it again. There will be a reason for prophecy in the future. During the tribulation period, and there will be prophets that come back that evidently risen from the dead, and will prophesy during that tribulation period. But of this church age, it's not really, there's not a purpose for that same gift of a prophet. Now, if you call somebody a prophet, speaking in hyperbole or saying that, you know, they're powerful or they're energetic or, you know, they seem to be able to know God's plan for your future. You know, I guess you could use the word in that way, but in a strict sense, there's no need for a prophet today. The reason for the prophets was to give the message of God and the word of God to his nation of Israel and to his people so that they would respond, they would turn from their sin, and that they would avoid captivity, they would avoid imminent danger. And so we have a number of prophets through the years that God raised up to speak during the time of the kings in particular. So if we go to Ephesians chapter 4, we're close by there, Ephesians 4, verse 11. And verse 11 said he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, each of those having a specific office for the early church. The prophets, as we said, and the apostles were unique. The apostles, only those during the time where Christ met them and sent them out. The foundation of the church, also through the prophets, before the word of God was completed, to be able to give the word of God. And then evangelists are those that would evangelize the lost. Pastor teachers was a sort of a combined office of a pastor teaching and shepherding the flock of God. Now, why did he give those people? Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, I suppose there's two ways you could look at verse 12. You could say, well, he gave these leaders for the perfecting of the saints. And he also gave these leaders for the work of the ministry. There's another way you could read that verse, which I think really is what it's saying. He gave the early leaders of the church those offices for the perfecting of saints so that they can do the work of the ministry. See, there's a drastic difference between those two thoughts. So there is a role of pastor, teacher, of training people so they can be used in the ministry. I don't ever believe it was the intent of only the apostles, prophets, and pastors to do the work of the ministry. They were to teach others. That was their role so that they could do the work of the ministry. And so that was the purpose in the early church. Now, as I said, there are always going to be false prophets, those that claim to be a prophet and they're not. In the sermon, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7 and verse 23, says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. False prophets will arise. They will claim to be Christ. Their false Christ will come. But don't believe it. Don't accept it. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. The word of God came from prophets. We probably one of the verses you have memorized, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not of a sectarian or independent interpretation, but it goes together with all other scripture. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the word of God came through prophets in the early church. If we were to follow all the way through the Bible, doing this study, I kind of surprised myself at this. But you go back to Abraham, the first one in time that is actually called a prophet. And Genesis 20, And, you know, I never think of Abraham as a prophet, but again, it was a unique time and a unique calling for Abraham. It says of Enoch, when you go to Jude 1:14, and Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Now, that's not happened yet, in my opinion. I think he's talking about something that's still in the future. And yet, almost at the beginning, the seventh from Adam prophesied or predicted there is going to be this coming again, or this coming with thousands of the saints. So there were many chosen from various different walks of life. It's not something you go to Bible college and study, say, well, I think God wants me to be a prophet, so I'm going to go to Bible college and I'll get some training. Although there was a school of the prophets, we know, but Moses was adopted in his infancy by Egyptian Pharaoh's daughter, a princess. And there he received his education. And yet God used him to lead the children of Israel. That was not a Bible college education. It was a secular education. But yet God called him. Ezekiel and Jeremiah, they were both priests. And they also were called to be prophets. And David was a shepherd, then fighting in war, and a commander, a king, a poet, musician. And God called him to be a prophet. Amos was a herdsman. Elisha plowing as a farmer. And Daniel in charge of government and administrator. God just said, there are certain people I'm going to call, and I'm going to use them to be a prophet. So there was a special calling that they were given. And it was not something they prepared for, or they sought or desired. It was God who gave them that call. So if somebody thinks, well, I think that's what my calling is, you better be sure it's God calling you. Make sure it's not you saying, this is what I want. So God in his wisdom chose men that would obey him, that would carry out the message, who would have authority to speak. And in many cases, they were ridiculed, stoned, rejected, put in prison. Their message was disbelieved or ignored, but they had to faithfully administrate that message. So God told them what they were to do, and their work was to reveal God's message, his attributes, who he is, and to authenticate what God was doing, to verify the laws and what God wanted them to do, to call people back from disobedience. When you think of Jeremiah, he was warning people, you know, we're an idolatrous nation. We're no better than the pagan nations around us. We need to repent. We need to turn back to God. Ezekiel spoke during that transition period of Israel or Judah being taken into captivity. And he spoke clearly that there was wickedness, and what they did in the dark is now being revealed. So there was a message that they needed to turn to God, repent, and get right. Remember Jonah, how he was a rather unwilling prophet. But he did eventually follow through with what God told him to do. He just needed a little arm twisting. He needed a little waterboarding, you know, put him down in the ocean for a while. And then he goes to Nineveh and reluctantly, but did preach the message, they need to repent. And marvelously, one of the greatest revivals ever recorded in Scripture. So you see, it was just he had to carry the message, but God did the work. And it was a great response. So that was his job, just to carry the message. It wasn't because he was powerful. It wasn't because he was charismatic. It wasn't because he could impress people with his speech, his oratory. It was because he carried God's message, and God did the work in people's hearts. So that was the office of the prophet, an exhorting people to worship the one true God. And also was often included the foretelling of future events. There were prophets who spoke of Christ, where he would be born, when he would come, certain time frame according to Daniel, and what would happen to him at the crucifixion. You know, there were literally hundreds of prophecies made. They were fulfilled literally and exactly as they were prophesied. The only ones that have not been fulfilled are those that are yet to come. So you think about how marvelous that is. God gave them a vision of what would happen, of nations that, you know, we know already what's going to happen in the Middle East. Now, there might be peace for a period of time. I hope there is. But we know it'll not last. We know that because of prophets. And we believe them, that they have already been vindicated. What they said is true, and that will be true. And there's going to be a great bear for the north. There's going to be an army of 200 million strong come from the east. And by the way, you know, until 1948, Israel didn't even exist as a nation. And people must have thought, oh, it's not possible that the Bible could be true. And yet God brought them back. That's just the doing of God. And you think, there is no such thing as an army from the east. Who could ever? If you went to China 40 years ago, it was one of the most impoverished third world countries you could imagine. And to think there would ever be an army of 200 million strong, and we have watched in our lifetime the prominence of China and the power they have and boast an army of that size. And they're saber-rattling now all through the Pacific Rim. See, we know what's going to happen, and we understand the significance of when you read your newspaper. We know we don't know when it's going to happen. We know it's going to happen. So there were prophets who foretold the future, and we know that's going to happen. We know there'll be an Antichrist, a 7-year tribulation, and a 1,000-year millennial reign. We already know that. Those events were foretold. And the most important part was the foretelling about Christ, who he is, and his crucifixion, his death, and the payment for our sin. All that was prophesied, and it was foretold. And all these things were recorded in the Word of God and the Holy Scripture to remind us. Now let's go to Acts as we close tonight. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, and we'll start with verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. That was prophesied to happen. And Jesus came for that very purpose and very reason, to save men from their sins, to forgive us of our iniquity, that we might have eternal life and to be joint heirs with Christ. Let's bow for prayer.